Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. How are we doing, Power Movers? Today we've got Mike Elliott, and Mike is a serial entrepreneur. He has done a lot of work with Google. He's now up in Skegness in the UK, where he has a caravan park business. He has a Google Ads business, and he also has a story to tell. He has a story to tell about how wellness can really impact who we are and who we become. Mike, let me just go straight into you. Thank you for joining me, and tell us a bit more about your story.
No problem, Roy. I'm absolutely excited to be here and share my journey with the listeners. I've got quite a unique story. I've had a lot of ups and downs, which has pushed me to where I am today. That is something that has shaped me. So I'll probably, if you don't mind, start from day one, which is growing up. I grew up in Sheffield. I'm from Sheffield originally. And I come from a very poor family at the time. Not now, even my mum and dad are successful now. But at the time, my mum was watering down milk to feed me when I was born. Dad was working two jobs, was never at home. I owe them everything because otherwise I wouldn't be here to go through that stage. That slowly improved, but I had quite a turbulent sort of period in my life at 8 years old, which I didn't comprehend at the time, but now I can comprehend. At 16, my brother's age was 16. I was 8. At that age, when it come down to me, my brother had a motorbike accident, and he's now got 7 metal plates in his face. He was on life support. He was like being fed through a tube for months. We thought we were going to lose him, and that was a really big hit for the family. But what was under the sleeve that nobody knew was actually, even though he was only 16, his partner at the time was pregnant with his baby.
Wow.
And she revealed that to my mum when she was in the hospital while my brother's called Mark, whilst he was on life support. So obviously that caused huge amounts of stress. That baby, he survived by the will of God, touch wood. I love my brother. He survived. But then when the baby was born 9 months later, the baby was born with Down syndrome. But not only that, and they often have heart problems when babies are born with Downs. He is my best buddy. His name's Lewis. I love him to pieces. He literally is my best friend. But he went down for an open heart surgery. I think it was 5 days old or four Wow. days old. They had to go down for open heart surgery. And there was a terrible story. And if the family members just by chance happen to listen to this, I'm so sorry for your loss. But at that exact moment that my nephew went down for his operation, another Indian family had exactly the same scenario in Leeds Hospital. Their baby was born with Downs, very similar operation to Lewis. When they came out, one baby made it and one baby didn't. And the baby that made it was my nephew, which obviously I'm thankful for, but desperately sorry for the other family. And that happened, obviously, all in the space of, I don't know, eight months from the accident. The baby was born. My brother was still recovering. Like, my brother was still, for Wow. many months, being fed through a tube. Like, it was really bad. His jaw was all wired shut. But then it got even worse, because 3 months after that, my dad had a heart attack. He died. They brought him back with the defibs, and he's still with us today. But I could have lost my brother. My brother now has 4 sons, so I would have not had 4 nephews that I have in my family, and my dad in the space of a year. And that was, at the time, I didn't really understand it. But looking back now, I understand how lucky I am, like, for that to have happened. Not for it to have happened, but for the fact that they're still here. Moving on to my later, as I aged, we moved to Skegness because of that. My mum and dad wanted a fresh start. We moved. My brother and sister stayed in Sheffield. We moved to Skegness, and in Skegness is where I grew up. Great place to be. It's not just this holiday place where everyone comes. If you do live here, it is a lovely place for kids to grow up, generally speaking. There's not much crime, etc. So I had a good childhood. There wasn't much to say between the age of 8 and 16 for me. There wasn't. Apart from the fact that I had a girlfriend at the time, and it was a really serious relationship to me. We were in love with each other, and it was like something that was like, it was going to, it felt like it was going to last forever. But we were going to university, and we went to study at Sheffield Hallam. She fell pregnant when she was 18, and that was like first year of university.
Wow.
And what happened was simply this, and I take all the responsibility for this. What happened was, is that I didn't grow up and be the man that I needed to be for the family at that time. There's no feelings there now or anything, but I didn't do what I should have done at that time. I should have stepped up, been there, provided, etc. It was only later in life. To give myself some leeway and credit, which is true, I was still a baby myself at 18. You're not a man at 18, even though people say you are, you're not. I'm looking back now at 33, thinking how I felt at 18, and I know full well that I am a completely different individual. But I didn't grow up in time. I was too busy drinking, taking recreational drugs at the time, at partying too much, instead of being with the family. Not that I wasn't there, but I wasn't there enough. Ran out of chances, effectively, if you like, if that's how you call it. We split up. University finished. I came back to Skegness. Because she came back to Skegness with my baby and I wanted to be around. I carried on the drink and recreational drugs, partying with my friends, feeling like I was on top of the world, everything, freedom, this and that, like everything was good. And I woke up, this is just the genuine, honest truth. If you've never experienced depression, I can't explain it to you any better than this. I woke up one day and I felt like the whole world's weight was on my shoulders.
Yep.
I woke up. I literally woke up and I felt like it. It wasn't something that gradually built. I'm sure it did mentally, but I didn't feel it. The drugs and alcohol wouldn't have helped, but it gradually built up to a stage where I was like, boom. I realized what I'd lost. I realized I wasn't going to grow up with my eldest daughter. I realized that I'd lost my partner at the time. And it hit me like a steam train, so much so that I didn't leave the house for 6 months. So my mum and dad were actually worried about like the most serious of events happening. I was that bad. Like I would cry in the shower. I have no shame in this because the biggest killer in men under 35 is suicide. And I share this with people because I never actually thought about it. I have to say that never crossed my mind. But what I'm saying is that I understand how you can feel that way for whatever reason it is. When it hits you, there is nothing you can do about it. I tried everything. I was trying to get myself out of it. My mum and dad were trying to help me out of it. Family members, I felt alone. Friends that were there for me before were no longer there for me anymore. The three or four friends that stuck around are the only three or four friends I have to this day, and I will only ever have unless it's in business. And I went through a horrible period, but do you know what? I am so thankful for that. That 6 months is the best thing that ever happened to me. And yeah. I say that because a lot of people have an entrepreneurial spirit, but because they never hit rock bottom, they get caught in the 9-to-5 rat race. They get caught in the wheel. They don't ever have any adversity. So therefore, they end up in a position where they're comfortable. They get a job. They earn 40K a year. They're happy, 9-to-5. They enjoy their weekends. They get 28 days in the UK annual leave. It's like they have that lifestyle and they never really get pushed to do anything. Whereas me... I like pick a basketball up and drop it in the air. I was in free fall for 6 months, just dropping. And as soon as I hit the floor, I woke up one day and all that happened was I felt 1% lighter. It didn't go away, but I felt 1% lighter than the day before. And I could feel it. I was still depressed. I still didn't leave the house, but I felt 1% lighter. Fast forwarding onto the entrepreneurial stuff. I then got a job at a PPC agency and it's again, fate. I was meant to go and have an interview somewhere else. And on the day that happened, my car was parked on a hill and it had snowed and I couldn't get the car out of the hill to get to the interview. I was late to the interview, therefore didn't get the job because being punctual is important. Didn't get the job. 2 days later, I had the interview at the marketing agency of the PPC executive role. Got the job. Worked my way up to SEM director at that agency. It was quite a large agency in the UK. Had quite a few staff members. Learned everything there is to know about digital marketing over the course of that period of time. And yeah, was SEM director for 6 years, 6.5 years. And then something even more, I'm a big believer in fate. Some people think it's nonsense, but for me, I believe it. And what happened was COVID came around. And guess what? My heart goes out to all the millions of people that lost their life to COVID, genuinely. Like, it was a horrible thing. But COVID was the best thing, the second best thing to ever happen to me. Because what happened was I wasn't furloughed. I was put working from home. And as soon as that happened, I realized that if I can do this from home at this desk with this computer, this phone and the internet, I can do it for myself. I don't need to work for anyone else.
Yep.
All of that pain that I felt, the heartbreak, the way people treated me, the things that happened during that time, the bounce back, the education, the analysis, the understanding, it lit a fire in me that is still there right now. As we speak, that fire, I still feel it every day. Every day when I wake up, I have the fire. And every day when I put my head on the pillow, I know that I gave 100% to that day. I'm not looking at somebody else who's got 80 million and has a Lambo and this and that, whatever. He's running or she's running her own race. I focus like a horse with blinkers on my own race. And I get the best out of every day I possibly can because that's all I can control. I can't control anything else. One of the most stupendous things that somebody can do in business is look at their competitors, not analyze their competitors, but look at their competitors' growth and think that they're doing something wrong. You should stay in your own lane. So then I launch a PPC agency. I sit down. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He came around my house. He'd quit the agency a year before. He looked me in the eye. He said, "Don't take offense to this, but watching you still be at that place right now tells me all the reasons why I left." The very next day, I handed my notice in at the agency. I quit. I went on my own. I had £3,000 in my bank account. I had a 2-month-old baby. I had nothing. It was back against the wall time. It was like fight or flight. Like I was either sinking or I was like, it was sink or swim. And that...
Best possible way. That's the best possible fire.
Exactly what I was going to say. People who don't feel that pain, that's why they stay in the 9-to-5s. They don't have that feeling. I wasn't scared of going to the edge. Because, like, I'm from the edge. I've been depressed. I've been this and that. I know what it feels like to be there. I'm not scared of going there. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Like, you'll be okay through the other side of it.
Yeah.
So I just took the leap of faith, my friend. And do you know what happened? I made 100K in 4 months.
Amazing.
And my salary was 35K. I then went and hired a girl called Chloe, who I am forever indebted to, from the agency I used to work at, right? Because I'm not going to go into too many details, but looking back now, it wasn't a very nice place to work, frankly. I'm not going to say the name. But when it comes down to her, I knew she was still in that position. I spoke with her and she took a massive pay cut to come and work for me. I'm talking like 15 grand, 18 grand a year pay cut to come and work for me. And that was effectively like 40% of a salary, basically, or whatever, to come and work for me. And the reason, I've shared a bit too much personal info about her there, but that's fine. When it comes down to the leap, the only reason she came is because she knew what I was capable of and she saw the fire because she'd worked with me for so long. She knew I could sell. One thing I've always been able to do is sell anything. I could sell ice to the Eskimos, mate. Like I could sell it. If I'm selling something, I can sell it. Like as long as I know what I'm selling, it's easy. It's easy for me. So she came and took the leap with me. I'm not going to bore you with the intricacies. Now there's a small team in that PPC agency that all worked at that previous agency that I give a better quality of life to. I pay them better salaries. I look after them. I look after their children. I'll make sure that everything is taken care of. But that agency has allowed me to diversify. And basically, like most entrepreneurs, this is the like bread and butter way, is that people have a cash flow in business and then they buy houses. That's a really common thing. You see a lot of people do that. I hear a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
They're a cash flowing business. They'll buy a house every year or two, or multiple if they can afford it, depending on how big the company is. I own houses, but I also invested in other companies, such as a caravan trade business, which turns over like 7 mil a year. I also have invested in micro SaaS companies that I'm building out now, literally as we speak. And I pivoted about 3 years ago. I say pivoted. I don't mean pivoted as in I went away from it. PPC is still my main bread and butter, but I know what's coming in the future from an AI perspective.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had to follow that trend. So I basically got behind AI. I now implement systems for some of the world's biggest clients, Vitabiotics, Perfect Draft, DirecTV out of the US, implementing automations, managing PPC campaigns for them, automating businesses and basically saving them time and money. And yeah, any business owner listening to this that hasn't implemented AI yet, like seriously, you need to get a move on because you are going
to... I'm going to come back to AI in a second because I think this is going to be an interesting discussion. But I just wanted to really touch on, there's this piece on wellness that I focus a lot on wellness, and we can talk about this in more detail. You know, for me, I had a similar situation. I've built up companies over 20-odd years. I've got three IT companies in London, and I've got all the power, which is this business. And I also got to that edge. I got to that edge of actually just about taking the jump off the building in terms of being that depressed and losing millions of pounds during COVID. And yeah, so I understand that rock bottom. Yeah, and I understand that another thing that is so missing at the moment in the business world, which is one of the things that I really like to talk about, is this mental strength and mental resilience, and then physical strength and physical resilience. We don't equate that to profit, and we should, because we're all after the profit. Yeah, I was working 14 hours a day. I was working. I literally ran myself into the ground. I ended up in hospital with a burst colon because of the stress. And I've been at the bottom of that barrel so many times. And I would much rather now go on a holiday, leave the things to themselves, and have some good time than just chase after that money. Yeah, because the mental piece is so important. I get up every day. This morning, I got up, I did some breath work, I did a meditation. After this, I'll probably go and do some work out, get into the ice bath. And that, for me, it gives me the energy in the moment. It gives me power in the moment. Yeah, and from there, I can actually do good work. What is your take on just the importance of understanding where you are mentally?
So my understanding of where I am mentally, I've been medicated ever since then. So I am still medicated for that because of how bad I was. I'm still to this day. And I openly admit it because, like, again, if someone's listening to this, it might save a life. And that's why I tell it. Like, I am medicated. If you met me in real life and we went out, we played a round of golf or whatever it was that we did, you would not believe for one second that I could ever suffer from depression or anxiety or anything like that. You wouldn't believe it. Because I'm outgoing. I'm always there to help. I speak to anybody in a room. Like, I'm so charismatic. It can be so well hidden that you don't. You should never look past anything. I am the first person to ask if someone's all right. Yeah. When it comes down to my own health, a couple of things. One thing, I don't look after my health enough in terms of exercise, which is definitely something on my agenda for 2026. Because I've been for the last 4.5 years in strict grind mode, and I put that on the back burner. But as you clearly know, if you do that for too long, you will burn out, no matter who you are. It don't matter how much fire you've got, don't matter how much you've got inside of you and energy. I'm still young, I'm 33. So I've got that on my side. But when it comes down to that work-life balance, I actually do have, what I do is I work extremely hard. And then what I tend to do is I tend to go on holiday every 8 weeks. Yeah. So I literally take a break every 8 weeks or so. So I graft. I spend time with my daughters on the weekends or in the evenings. I graft as hard as I can. I do 10-hour days. But then every 8 weeks, there's a 10-day trip. And in that 10-day trip, I just completely reset. Don't get me wrong. You'll know, as an entrepreneur and a business owner, you never really are away from the business. You're always on call, if you like. But 80% of the workload's gone. and I'm just sat on a beach chilling, and I just have to answer a few questions, maybe give a few yeses and nos and approve a few things. I don't have to do anything that's strenuous. So that's how I balance it. So the health thing, the gym, etc., I did during COVID, like when I first started out and I was in the best shape of my life. Now, not going to lie to you, slightly overweight, nothing crazy, but slightly overweight. But it's obviously I'm sedative. I sit at a computer all day. All my work is like that. The way that I manage my mental health is by surrounding myself with people who love me. And what I mean by that is like I set dedicated time to where, okay, this hour is you're going to go and play games with your daughter.
Yeah.
You're going to go and play.
You said something to me earlier, which I found really interesting. And before we got on here, you're like, okay, it's still morning time here. I'm still got my energy until about 3 o'clock. And yeah, this energy piece for me is so important, right? I get up in the morning. I get up at 5 o'clock, let's say. I do my morning routine and that really bounces me up. But then I know from an energy perspective, I have my best brain work from, say, 7:30 until 12:30. And then I'll do these kind of podcasts and then I'll do the things that are more mundane. So just understanding that energy piece, understanding where you're most effective, it just means you get more out of the day, right?
Do you know what people do? And I've been guilty of it when I'm trying to do a big task, but I'll tell you exactly what people do. What they do is, in the morning, right, between 8 and 3, like I say, between 8 and 3, I am an absolute demon. And what I mean by that is I am so productive. Like, I don't know if it's OCD or what, but I am just, like, knocking tasks off of my list. YouTube videos for my YouTube channel, onboarding clients for my PPC agency, scoping AI automation projects for my AI agency. I'm absolutely on fire. You can't stop me. It's like something like, no one disrupts me. My partner knows, don't disrupt me. I'm in the mode. What happens if I try and work? Let's say my partner and my daughter have gone away for 2 days with them to see her mum, let's say, because she lives in Durham. Let's say they've gone there. If I try and sit there from 3 till 7, yeah, I will get 20% done of what I would have done in those same hours the following morning.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I try, I've lost the motivation. My brain is telling me you're fried, mate. You need a break. And instead of just taking the break, even if it was just to go away for a couple of hours, go for a walk, walk the dog, go to get something to eat, cook, do something, and then come back. That would be enough. But instead, whenever I try and push through, I fail. So I'm a strong believer in that. Yeah, I can't. I'm not a liar, so I won't ever say that I meditate, I do this, I do that. I wouldn't ever come on here and start trying to preach things I don't do, but I do protect my sanity with...
We're gonna have a conversation after this because, I think there's a lot of alignment and, So let's move on now, just a super interesting journey. So far, the future is here now, it's coming, it's AI. I've spent 2.5-3 years in AI now, just going deep into it, understanding the automations, understanding where we're going. And, we were talking about business owners and not necessarily looking into AI at all. People are a bit scared of it. And I really dig into AI as just a tool. It's a tool that you can use. You need to know how to use it effectively. You need to know how to use it efficiently. But then what do you use it for? What I'm really working with business owners on now is what are the business functions that you're trying to automate? People don't have the right SOPs. They don't understand what they're actually doing. And then B, from that point of view, once you know what you're doing, how do you do it so that you can bring more human back? And I really think that the companies of the future are going to be those companies that are able to be much more human and then use the AI to automate things in the background. If I could have a team of people working 6 hours a day instead of 10 hours a day, and they're doing 5 times as much, to me, that's going to be a win-win, right? Now, where do you see AI is at the moment? What are the things that you're using it for? And what would be your advice on people actually thinking about getting into AI?
So the biggest thing that I implement for businesses that has the biggest impact, let's remove that line. The biggest impact that I see for businesses when it comes down to AI and where I always advise that they start is in their sales processes.
Yeah.
What you'll often find traditionally is, like, what did you do? Go back. The AI age is no different to every other age that we've gone through, the digital age. We're in the digital age now. We've gone through the agricultural age. Land was king. We've gone through the industrial age where offices and factories and all of that was king. Yeah. now we're in the digital age, and it's no different of a transition. It's just technology is what's taking over.
Yeah.
People need to understand it from a basic human history perspective first. Yeah. If you're worried about AI, just look at what's happened in history. Does everybody remember putting a CD in a Walkman to walk around to listen to your music? Everybody.
Well, maybe people your age and older, but the youngsters, they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So like my age, I remember walking to school. You know, I'd have this in there. I would have like my 50 cent CD or whatever I was listening to at the time. Mm. I'd have that CD in there and I was playing it. Guess what? Then came the iPod and the iPod Mini. You could have the music on it and just click it and it would clip to your clothes. And then all of a sudden now it's like music's on demand on an app on your phone. Like you can get anything on this, literally anything on the planet Earth. Were you scared when like your house telephone went to a mobile telephone? It's the same evolution, just at a different scale. So back on track to business, when it comes down to businesses, that's why they shouldn't be scared of it. If you don't embrace it, you're going to lose your business, right? That's a fact. Yeah. If you don't embrace it, you're going to lose your business. Yeah. AI train, we have different levels of people. People come to us, they say, we've already tried to implement AI, but it's not working. Can you help us fix it, et cetera? There's inefficiency. Yeah. We also have people that come saying we have no idea what to do. But there are effectively, I'll give you a few of the main areas. Speed to lead. Traditionally, inquiry comes through the door now. Let's say you're an accountant. A sales member picks that up an hour later, an hour and a half later. No one answers. They send an email. They try them the next day. They've set up a task manually in HubSpot or something. Try them again. Try call. No answer. Send them an email again. Slowly they die because fresh inquiries have come through that you've been speaking to. There's no active retention. There's no active ongoing reactivation of business. There's none of that. There's businesses out there sat on millions of pounds worth of work in their databases and they're not even touching them. If you implement AI into your sales process, an inquiry form is submitted and 10 seconds later they receive a text message that can have a two-way backwards and forwards. Even if you wanted the text message just to say, thank you for your inquiry, we've received it. A member of team is going to give you a call.
Yeah.
Is there an ideal time or do you have any questions? And then you use something like Go High Level and Closebot, which is Closebot's my favorite. There is BotPress, which is also exceptional, but Closebot is the one that I use. You build out these flows and you can send answers depending on what they say. Let's say you are a digital marketing agency and then you receive an inquiry. But you don't know whether that inquiry is PPC, SEO, email marketing. The first question the AI will ask is, so thank you for your inquiry. What services are you interested in? If it's PPC, it will go the PPC route. Okay, are you currently running ads or are you brand new? Then it will go down two different branches. If they're running ads, it will say one thing. If they're not, it's the other. So what I'm trying to get at here is just it streamlines the business. No one cares really about the tools and complexity like Closebot, etc. The fact is it improves your efficiency as a business. It makes you look more professional. It makes you more efficient. Your conversion rates will be higher. There's less pressure on your staff members from a sales perspective. It weeds out any completely dud inquiries, spam calls, spam things that you get, whatever, spam form submissions. It weeds them out straight away. And your staff can focus 80% of their time on the 20% that matter. And you can do what a team of 20 sales reps can do with four people.
Yes.
Because you have the qualification process already automated. The next one, to move on, because I want to give some value on where you can focus, customer relationships and customer support. You can plug in. I've done this recently for a client called The Reporting Hub out of Canada. Basically, they use Freshdesk. They're a SaaS business. They use Freshdesk for tickets. If there's a problem with their SaaS, someone submits a ticket, right? Yeah. Their response rate, first response close rate of tickets that got opened, think about it. Someone opens a ticket with them. That ticket is now open. Their business has to deal with it. Yeah. Their first response close rate was 22%. After 6 weeks of me implementing a bunch of other automations alongside that, their first response close rate is now 78%.
Wow.
So their sales support team are actively in a position where they're twiddling their thumbs. They're not really. What they, I just use that analogy to make it like to showcase like 56% of their work is gone. So that's disappeared. Guess what? Now, for the major tickets where there are major complex issues, everybody is at hand to fix them quicker.
You bring the human back, right?
Yeah. And it's not AI making it up from thin air. They've built out a really detailed knowledge base that it pulls this information from. And no, AI is not correct 100% of the time. It isn't. But that's why you have fallbacks in place that if there's an issue and something seems to get stuck, it pings a real-life employee to take it over.
Yeah.
But if you can get a 98%, 97% hit rate as a first, like with things like that, a 97% correction, you trade off the other 3%. Because the gains you make, especially from sales or ticketing issues like that SaaS business, the gains you make from efficiency there and time spent, less overhead on staff members focusing on what actually matters and growing the business, like all of those things suddenly become possible. Whereas what you would have to do normally is you would have to go out and hire another sales member to handle the processes. You can do it for a fraction of the cost.
That's the thing now, right? Yeah. If we're sitting here as business owners, and I've got a few of my clients, some new entrepreneurs, and they're just starting out, and the opportunities now to build, grow, and scale your company, just amazing. If you just, I wouldn't go and say learn AI, because that's the joy of AI. You don't need to learn it. Yeah, it will tell you everything you need to know, depending on what tool you're using and how you're using it. Yeah, I think there is now this role that you're taking up here, which is almost an AI architect kind of role, which is understanding the how can we actually slot the AI into our processing. And then there's the role before that, which I take on board, which is the how do you actually know that you're doing the processes correctly? How do you get the SOPs right? How do you understand? Yeah, because so many, especially small to medium-sized businesses, there's a team of 10 people and each of them are doing their own thing in their own way. And no one's really put it into documentation and no one really knows exactly what everybody does. So, yeah, you need to get clear on your business and then you can automate it.
You've got to, yeah. You've got to. The first place I start with an inquiry is where, like, I find, and they tell me, but I find their bottlenecks. I don't come in here saying, we can do this, we can do that, we can do this. It's not the same for every business. Every business has a different bottleneck. Sometimes there's a lot of crossover. Like, for example, 95% of businesses could improve with AI sales automation. Yeah. That's one that's a given. But things like manual data entry. Some businesses have huge amounts of manual data entry where they're spending hundreds of hours a week across 10 members of staff. I could automate it. You can save all those hundreds of hours. So that might be something that comes up. But you've brought up a really interesting point and something I'm a big believer in. There's three steps to automation, right? The first step of automation is just AI itself. That is my dad going to ChatGPT to ask what time the Sheffield Wednesday game kicks off on Saturday. Something probably a little bit more complex than that. But let's just say he goes to ChatGPT, asks it a question. It's conversational, right? It's asking it, it can answer. You ask it a question about the World War II and it'll answer. That's AI's power. We now have power at our hands. That alone is incredibly powerful, okay? If you're stuck on something, you can ask it a question. I still use it for that. I use Comet. If anybody out here is really deep into using the way that the future of search is going to be, download Perplexity's Comet and use it as your search browser. I've got a video on YouTube about how it booked. I stopped it right before it did, but it booked a flight to New York from London Heathrow for me without me touching a thing. I just told it to book me the flight. But you have three steps. First step is that you have the guy who goes to ChatGPT. And if they are clever and a little bit of wisdom for small businesses or solopreneurs or whatever who are using this, who are not fluent with AI at all, is this. If you go to AI with a problem in your business and you sit there and you speak to AI and you have this conversation and you're having backwards and forwards until you get the right answer, you might spend half an hour talking to this AI. Yeah. You might say, what are the five issues for this? This client has this problem. What are the best five solutions? You go through all these things. You're having conversations backwards and forwards and you finally get your answer. Do you know when you get the answer? In the exact format that you get that you want the answer in, and you look at it and you think that is exactly what I wanted. This is nobody does this. All you need to do is say to the LLM, doesn't matter what you're using, AI Studio, Perplexity, Claude, ChatGPT, which is obviously the big one. Ask it to write you the system instructions that would have given you that answer the first time you asked it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do that, it will give you a system prompt that the very next time you have to go and solve that issue, you have the system instruction already. You give it the system instruction, you save it. I save mine, but you save it if it's for something specific. You go there, you say, this client has this issue. It will give you the exact response in the exact format without the half an hour backwards and forwards.
That's well, I think that, yeah, I'm just going to come in on that conversation there. One of the things that AI has taught me, right, over the last 2.5, 3 years, is that I don't communicate as well as I thought I communicated. So I'm using it very much as a mechanism to understand my own communication and be more clear with my communication. Because AI, all the large language models are trained on humans. Okay, they're trained on how humans talk. So it is just a reflection of us. Yeah, and when you have a staff member, especially as a business owner, we have staff members, and we bring them on board and we're all excited and we know what we're doing and we've done it 100 times. And then we just tell them, just do this. And then suddenly they're like, "Ash, they didn't get it." But they don't communicate that back to us and we don't ask the right questions and be communicative. So I really love the way that AI is helping me be a better communicator. And that's a piece. You said there were three elements?
Three steps. So that's the first step. That second, the final section is the most important, but that will take you from a complete novice to beating 70% of the people in the world with AI at the moment. If you just know how to get to a certain stage, get a system prompt ready, and then reuse it in your business. Yeah. For example, like the training issue you had, if they are stuck on a certain problem, you upload your documentation, you say, "Hey, my member of staff is stuck on this. They couldn't get past this problem." Get the right answer and then ask it to rewrite the script to do that. Every time you have a problem with your training documents, you would just go to it and ask it and it will give you the answer. That would put you above 80% of people in the industry. So then after that, you have the middle ground no code developers, which is where I started, right? Yeah. You have the no code. These are people, if you watch my YouTube channel, I go like I live build flows that use Gamma to build presentations based off of a form or whatever, and it fully automates. You can parse data, you can manipulate data, all of the techie stuff, but without having to be a developer, you can actually quickly learn it. There are plenty of templates out there on make.com and NAN that you can literally just plug in that will do something for you from Google Sheets to HubSpot that you'll be like, "Oh my God, that took me so long to do." But actually, it's just done it automatically without any need. And slowly you pick things up about how you would build it. You can watch people like myself or other people on YouTube and learn how to build and how AI is impacting stuff. But that's the middle ground. That's the next level. If you're wanting to learn AI, you need to become familiar with no code.
Yeah.
My personal opinion on it is that when you look at tools like OpenAI's Agent Builder that they've just launched, when you look at tools like Opal, Google Opal, Google will win the AI marathon. I guarantee you. You can stand on my words 5 years from now that Google will win it. I just firmly believe it because of the search engine that they have, the data that they have on search behavior historically. I think all of their tools, the things that are under the radar, Project Mariner, Project Astra, these things people don't even know about, that are probably going way over people's heads. And I'm not trying to bore you with information, but there's a lot of things that Google are working on in the background that people don't know are happening. And then the Agent Builder comes out and everyone's, whoa, that's been in production for a long time and it's not been a secret. But the differences with those no-code builders in comparison to NAN and make.com is that you just type what you want and it does it for you. So what's going to happen is in 5 years' time, not even that, like in 2 years' time, you're going to be able to go to any no-code platform, probably including NAN and Make, and you're going to be able to use an LLM, to tell it your problem, tell it the issue that you've got, data entry. When an inquiry comes in, I have to take that inquiry, I have to add it to HubSpot, I then have to add it to an inquiry sheet, and then I have to date it or whatever. And you would tell that to an LLM, and tell it to write you a system instruction for Opal, for AI Agent Builder. You paste it in, and you've got yourself a fully functioning flow that's already in production.
Yeah,
that's where it's headed. So
I guess that, just to jump in there, that is the reality of the gap that's building at the moment, right? And I see this gap building and building. And the more I do, the more I know I need to do, but the more I see a lot of people not doing it. And what I'm trying to get so many people I'm working with to do is literally just pick up ChatGPT at the very base, or Claude, or Gemini, or one of them, and just start getting used to it every day. Like you're saying, your dad, go and search for this. Go and use it to take a picture of what's in your fridge and make a meal, or book your holiday, or you just get used to the flow of using it. Because that's the first, very much the first flow, like you said, is just get moving, get using it. And we're going to build this whole other set of work. Everyone's worried about work going, but now there's going to be a whole another set of work, which is going to be like what you're doing, which is all about how to automate things and how to structure things. And
100% true. But you know what the issue is? The problem is that if you, I made a video on this recently, right? And it's probably my favorite video I've ever made. And what I was basically doing is warning people that they need to start having an entrepreneurial mindset. And I don't mean in the essence of just creating a business, as in when you're looking, if you're going to stay employed by a company, you have to be able to look at a business, your, or at least your department's efficiency, and understand how to implement AI into it. Because if you don't, you're going to be gone. Like there's certain jobs, certain tasks that are going to be completely eradicated. Anything data entry, like moving one bit of data from here to there, that is going. If you are in a position there, you need to change career. Like seriously, because it's so simple to move data now from AI. It's like the most basic task you can do. You can build it in 30 seconds, right? To move, if something comes in from a form, it goes into a spreadsheet, it goes into HubSpot. You could build it in literally a minute, right? Inside of NAN. So as soon as businesses catch up and start to realize that actually this is a thing, what's going to happen is, what do businesses want? They want a bigger bottom line. They want a better profit margin. How do they do that? Staff is a big problem for them. Like staffing is a big issue. So if you're in those industries where, if you're in those positions where data entry is a big part of what you do, a lot of admin, anything in those related industries, your job's not safe, seriously. And my warning was to become an architect. Someone still needs to architect that data and make sure that it's managed properly. And you need to position yourself in that space. AI is going to take a lot of jobs, but I don't necessarily buy into the whole scaremongering thing around there's going to be no jobs left on the planet. Like,
They're going to change, right? They're going to change.
it's just another, like I said, from the industrial age, it's just another change in the age. And the new opportunities are going to present themselves. New businesses are going to be created. Technologies are going to advance that never existed before that mean that new people get new opportunities in business. But if you are, especially an older demographic, if you are 55 years old, 60 years old, and you are in a job where all you do is admin, you should panic. Like those areas are areas where you should definitely be concerned. Don't think that it's not going to happen, because it will. Like,
So it's happening, and it's happening at a rate not. Well, I'm going to start wrapping up now, and I just want you to think about that one thing that you obviously that last open was pretty useful. What's the one thing people should do, first of all, to start themselves on the wheel with AI? And then secondly, if people get hold of you, and I'll obviously share your contacts and stuff on the podcast.
yeah.
So.
So no, when it comes down to getting into AI, the first thing that you need to do is breathe, because it's not the big, scary, overwhelming beast that you think it is. And that is something that a lot of people do, especially again, older demographic. Breathe, do basic research, ChatGPT, make.com. Perplexity's Comet is a search engine, just like Google. Use it, but you'll see how efficient it is. It will answer your questions. It will show you what it's researching. It will give you sources. Slowly integrate AI into your personal day so that you feel more comfortable with it. At that stage, you can then start to look at maybe looking at things like make.com or NAN for basic templates. Not, you don't have to build anything, just use the templates they've got and just see how they work and function, because they have functions inside of them for testing to show you how it works. Familiarize yourself with that, but just educate yourself on AI. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Subscribe to other people's YouTube channel, not the gimmicky ones, the people who speak the truth. Subscribe to those channels. Watch what they say about the AI space. Learn about what the way, because it's not about the tools. Every week there's a new tool. Forget about the tools. Just understand that AI is an age that's coming, and you just need to slowly start incorporating it into your day. And do you know what? you'll very quickly find if you do that, that when you wake up in the morning and you get an SMS or you get an email that tells you everything you've got to do on that day, don't forget you've got to pick the kid up from school today. Don't forget that you're cooking tea today. Don't forget that you've got to do this today. You'll be surprised with how helpful it can be with basic day-to-day life tasks. And when you realize that, you'll start to realize how efficient it could be in business. And that might just spark an entrepreneurial fire inside of you to build something for yourself. So that's where I would start. Obviously, reading from the correct places. But YouTube is the main value. YouTube is where I started with my journey. Like listening to people and watching people build it and use it with real life examples in business or personally. You can't beat it. But at the very least, guys, if you're listening to this and you are one of those people who are terrified about AI, please start incorporating like AI Studio or ChatGPT or whatever. But then do a little bit of Googling, spend half an hour and just look for some other features. AI Studio, Google's AI Studio, for example, has a feature where you could load up eBay or you could load up Asda and you can click the voice button and you will be able to have literally a discussion with an AI agent at that moment in time and say, 2 liters of milk from Asda is this. How much is it at Morrison's? And it will go and research and tell you. Or it will say, what are the most popular brands of this? And it will do it for you. You could easily take 15 hours and just say, do you know what I'm going to do for my life? I'm going to spend 15 hours, 5 hours watching YouTube videos, 5 hours messing around with ChatGPT, 5 hours looking at advanced features like Make.com and N8N. Do that, your life will change forever.
Magic. And then getting hold of you, obviously, I'll share your YouTube stuff. And then, what's the best way to get hold of you?
The best way to learn from me is by subscribing to YouTube at youtube.com/MichaelElliottAI. The best way to reach me, if you want to be professional contacts, obviously LinkedIn, same handle. If you want to reach out about any services and AI automation services, you can do it through LinkedIn or you can head over to AI Train. Or I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give Roy a MyCal link booking meeting that he can put in the description of this video so you can book a meeting with me to discuss anything from just generic advice. I am somebody who is not a gatekeeper. Don't feel like you're wasting my time. If you want somebody who's scared and you want the basics, don't think you have to come and start implementing massive things into businesses because you don't. But if you have a business and you're thinking about incorporating AI, use the Cal link that's in the description of this podcast and book a meeting with me and I'll go through it with you.
Right, magic. Thank you for your time, sir.
No worries. Thank you, Roy.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.